Hi everyone, it's Chris Hardy from RichmondMatters.com. And today's a hot summer day in Richmond, and I'm actually standing at the edge of a clearing here at Hayes Arboretum. It looks like a clearing, or is it a field, or is it a park, or is it something else? I see a lot of outdoor things. I see sticks and logs, rocks, some garden beds, some chairs, some wood carvings. And what at first glance might seem like total outdoor chaos soon comes into focus as a very tightly designed space. It's a space with workstations, playstations, sitting areas, learning areas, signs. There's tons to do here. And it's all for kids and maybe grown-ups to engage with the natural world, learn about it, experience it, play in it. It's called the Playscape, and it's one of the newest features here at the Arboretum, conceived and brought together by the Arboretum staff and board, and two people in particular who I'm talking to today, Steve Hayes Jr., the executive director, and Lisa Burkhart, a retired teacher who's been volunteering and helping bring it all together.
We got these chimes up at the Amish store in Fountain City, so not far away. Both, you know, durable, but I love the sound that chimes make. Uh-huh. And
you want to ring them for us?
Yeah, sure.
As kids play near us at the so-called Mud Kitchen, Steve walks over to the music station, which has instruments made of things like old pots and pans, PVC pipe, and a basket. And he rings the chimes.
And we purposely hung them low enough that kids can grab a hold of them and use them. And the spoons that you play the music with keep getting dragged over to the Mud Kitchen. But that's okay, because you can just bring
find
them back
stick.
Again. And yeah, you can use a stick, or you can just go get one of
them. Uh-huh. So herb garden, then this small raised bed children's garden, then our butterfly garden. Huh? And this is all the western edge. And then we have our interactive zones there, music, the Mud Kitchen, our two dig pits. One has more of a pea gravel, one has more of a fine sand gravel. The log fort, and then the teepee in the background, and then the platforms there. What we had tried to do there.
And as we walk around together, it becomes clear that the Playscape at the Arboretum took a lot of time and effort to bring together to make it happen. And I wanted to sit down with Steve and Lisa to talk about that process, what it means for the Arboretum and the broader community, and how outdoor play and outdoor education factor into giving the children of our community the best possible educational experience we can offer. Steve and Lisa, thanks so much for talking with me today. How did the Playscape come into existence?
Probably 2.5 years ago. I heard that Hayes Arboretum was interested in developing a Playscape, and I wanted to be a part of that because I feel really strongly that that's an important thing for children to be exposed to, and just wanted to volunteer my time as best I could. So what I started off with, because I didn't even really know what a Playscape would look like and how to create one, was researching. But the staff at the Arboretum had also done some researching too. So we went on a few field trips, traveled to Indianapolis, over towards Dayton area, stuff we could do within a day's period of time. We did spend one really long day going all the way to Kalamazoo, Michigan, and saw several Playscapes along the way. So we had these routes mapped out so we could see as many as we could. Took lots of pictures, lots of notes, and came back and looked at the space here and decided what features we wanted to include and how it could get done. And then Steve has to come in with his big equipment to get things just laid out and started.
So yeah, my background is in landscape architecture, and I've worked here at the Arboretum. This is my 10th year, and our staff had been talking about a Playscape, and they were researching some grant funding, and the grant funding came in very quickly. And we have some great grant funding partners,
Reed Health, Community Benefit, and Wayne County Foundation jumped on board to help with the playscape. And at the time, we had ideas, we had some rough plans, we kind of knew generally what we wanted, but it was really working with Lisa and seeing some of these other playscapes, like she said, that exist in our region, and then from, you know, over in Ohio to up in Kalamazoo, Michigan. We looked at a lot of different playscapes. I had never designed a playscape, but I love guidelines. And so when we were talking about the playscape and trying to understand what all it was, what were the design elements, how were these kids and their parents interacting with nature, what were the different zones like, what were the requirements, we looked at a group called Nature Explore, which is a company that specializes in playscapes, and we knew early on that we wanted to be a certified outdoor classroom playscape and meet all the criteria to be certified, and that's a national certification. And so we were fortunate that throughout this process we kept that in mind, and we were willing and able to put forth the effort and the expense, because there were expenses that were supported through the community, to really get to a space that is intriguing for the children, a great learning environment, and a great amenity to have here at the Arboretum.
I know when a lot of people think of outdoor play for kids, I mean, the first thing that comes to mind might be big steel and plastic structures, you know, brightly colored rubber mulch around, maybe some fountains. And we have some of those in Richmond, and they're great. But what's the difference between that kind of an outdoor play space and a playscape, in both in terms of like what it looks like and how it works, and then also sort of the philosophy behind it?
So all the materials that are used are from the Arboretum. They're all natural. They're logs and stones, and some of the things got brought in, some big stones and things, but nothing's man-made out there except one little short slide. But it's elevated on a log. So the idea behind it is that there are so many different textures and levels that children really have to use every part of their brain and senses to negotiate the area, not in a dangerous way at all, but just in an exploratory type of way. So as you know, on a regular playground, the surfaces are all smooth and the steps are all the same distance apart, and there's not a whole lot of testing that needs to be done on a kid, from a kid's standpoint. The thing I like about our playscape that I really found is different and unique from some of the other ones we saw is that it's large, it's covered with grass, but there are lots of trees around, and there are comfortable seating for parents in so many areas, but it really doesn't matter what area you sit down in or choose to be in. You can see every one of the features from any spot you're in and keep an eye on your kids. And there's a nice perimeter that I don't think even is... the kids don't even notice it. It's just made by the trees that are bounding the area. So it all seems logical to both the parents and the children where they can be in that space and be safe at the same time challenging themselves, I guess, to be with nature.
And, I mean, you both have experience observing kids learning inside. I mean, the Arboretum has an indoor education center. Steve, you've been a part of building that and making that great. And Lisa, you've had a lot of time in a classroom as a teacher for a long time. But this is such a focus on outdoor learning experiences. And I wonder what you notice about the way that kids learn when they're inside, when they're, you know, in a classroom or you know, reading something or looking at a kind of a display, versus how they learn and what they experience when they're outside. What kinds of things do you see that are different, and what does that mean?
a lot of times in the classes here at the Arboretum, we start with a topic, sometimes with actually reading a small, short book. But that's just a springboard for the rest of the lesson that's going to take part the rest of the day. And as the instructor, you have to be open to all different kinds of ideas that the children are going to bring. You can't really plan, I guess, what they're going to find or see or be interested in as you walk down the trail. So, for instance, I was just working with a group of pre-kindergarten students that were interested in birds, and that was supposed to be the focus of the class, but they picked up rocks and nuts and leaves and saw flowers and things along the trail. So I just have to be ready as the instructor to engage in all those other opportunities with them, because that's what they were ready and interested in to learn.
The Playscape is a great, you know, interactive, hands-on learning experience for the kids and parents, but it's a great transition for them to go explore. And one more element that existed before the actual construction of the Playscape was the teepee structure. And one of the things about the Playscape, they love kind of what they call the building, right, with natural elements. And it was interesting, this teepee structure had been built by a previous summer class. And when we started planning the Playscape, it was easy just to say, all these elements we want to include, we want these to be our border elements, we want to add areas into this area, right, this what's now going to be the Playscape area. And it was interesting that right in the middle was this teepee. So yeah, it's definitely evolved, and it will continue to evolve.
Yeah, there's a Pinterest page that we're all part of that has ideas that we've taken from lots of other places to see what else we want to add in. I think a lot of families don't realize it's there because it is behind the annex. There's a sign, but you have to be in a certain part of the parking lot to even see it. And I just want families to know that they're free to use that any time that the Arboretum's open.
That's great. I mean, as a parent myself, free opportunities to help a child learn and also burn off some energy are always in high demand. And so it's just so great that it's there. I mean, the Arboretum has such great hours and availability, makes itself available to the community. No cost, you can drive right in. And it's just incredible. I want to make sure we don't take for granted the idea that engagement with the natural world is just an important thing in a child's development, because I think the three of us sitting here probably know that. I mean, both of you, your existence, your work has had that idea built into it. But if you could say a little bit more about why is it important that children, adults, all people of all ages are engaged with the natural world, children especially, though, as they're learning about how the world works. Why is that an important thing, and how does the Playscape help with that?
One aspect of the children's development is definitely physical, and I think I touched on that a little bit about having them learn how to balance and walk on areas that aren't totally smoothed out for them to begin with, and so they have to figure all that stuff out. I've done a lot of research and reading on other outdoor preschools and the kind of curriculum they use or the kind of things they do to encourage children to engage, because sometimes they're afraid. I mean, it's different. It doesn't look like home. It's not smooth and soft and bug-free for them. One of the things they caution instructors or even parents to say to their kids is, oh, be careful. Be careful. That's a no-no, because you're not being specific about what to do. And so you just ask children questions. If it looks like to you they're going to get themselves involved in a place that's not potentially safe, that you ask them, how do you feel? Or do you feel like you're going to be able to handle this? You don't help them climb up onto something tall, because then they will have to get help getting down, and you might not be available or something, and they could get hurt. But you'll just allow children to explore on their own, just by asking them questions about how they're feeling about their body in that space, and that's going to let them develop. And then another area is developing immunities against germs and allergies and things. And I just was listening to a podcast about a study that's been out for a while, that from the ages of 0 to 4 is the most important time to have your children be exposed, but not to viruses and bacteria. We have medicine and, you know, vaccinations for that, to be exposed to non-harmful microorganisms in nature. And that's where you come into contact with them, is with the dirt and the leaves and animals. And in the Arboretum's Playscape gives them a perfect opportunity to do that.
So, you know, as a youngster, you learn about all these cycles, right? You learn about the rock cycle and the air cycle and water cycles, and you start seeing relationships of how the environment works. And I think in one of the most general senses, there's a definite relationship between us, right, as a human species, and the earth. And so we depend on all the resources that we have at our disposal, right, through the natural resources. And then the earth and the resources depend on us to be proper stewards of the resources we have. So good stewards of our air quality and water quality, soil quality, plant health. And it's something that's definitely generational. And trees help show us that. The Arboretum's fortunate to have roughly 60 acres or 3% of the state's old growth trees. And, you know, when one of the sayings is, when you plant a tree, you're not doing it for yourself, you're doing it for your kids and your grandkids. So we want good stewards at all age levels, but when you engage the youngest of our society, you're then engaging not only those children, but hopefully their children and their grandchildren. So, you know, good environmental stewardship, a good appreciation for what we have, I think comes from interacting and learning about it, and of course not being afraid about it, afraid of it. It used to be, and this is just a few years ago, when the hot topic was childhood obesity, and it was getting children to go outside and play to help combat childhood obesity. And it's still an issue, but what seems to be even more prevalent these days is screen time. And children having their lives dominated in their free time by looking at a computer screen. And that's something that, as a society, is not going to go away. But I think to take a break from that, and our Playscape is a tech-free zone. We want the kids to be busy with interacting with the natural elements. And you'll find that when they're doing that and they're expending their energy and they're having a good time, they're not on the screen. But interacting with nature, not being afraid of it, not being afraid of the unknown, helps them to segue out into, hopefully, looking for other opportunities that they might have to experience nature, maybe closer to their house or around our community or even later in life. And they'll remember, hey, I went to a class at the Hayes Arboretum and I hugged a tree when I was a youngster.
So. One of the features that I especially like that we have out there on the Playscape is our water feature. And we knew from visiting other places that was going to be really important, but we couldn't really figure out how to get it incorporated. And it's quite a distance away from the mud kitchen, because the best place to put it is back at the far edge. And the only way we could do the water really was through rain barrels that are up against the buildings. But there's not a better way to teach kids that you can collect this free water and you don't want to drink it, so we have a sign there about it. But it works perfectly well to mix in with sand and dirt and paint the wooden turtles and the rocks that are out there. And it encourages them also to move, because they have to walk across the distance to get from the rain barrel to the mud kitchen or to the turtles. And they learn how to turn on that spigot themselves. Even 4-year-olds can handle it all by themselves. It's not a hard thing to do, but it kind of teaches them that.
I wonder if we could take a minute to step back and just hear from each of you about your background, sort of how you ended up here in this moment, what you've done personally and professionally that kind of led you to being involved in this project, and why it became something that was important to you. Who wants to start?
So my background is in landscape architecture. Went to University of Georgia and then worked for a couple years up in Virginia and then 4.5 years in Baltimore. There was some positions that had opened here at the Arboretum, and I figured I could make a great impact here. I saw a lot of potential, as I still do with our organization. And of course, it's definitely close to home. My dad works here as well. The rest of our family are kind of scattered around the country, but I felt with my background and connection to the environment and passion for the organization that it was a fantastic opportunity that I didn't want to turn down. I felt it may not, that opportunity may not be around again for whatever reason. You know, we could find good staff, and so when the opportunity provided itself, I went ahead and accepted and moved out here, and that was 10 years ago. And when I started here, for the first 4 years, I was working on building and grounds, and the past 4 or 5 years, I've been doing more administrative as the executive director. There are definitely days when I kind of wish I was still out on a mower or a tractor or helping with our grounds. I do really enjoy, it's definitely additional responsibility and a different perspective being in a leadership role here. But I continue to be amazed at the resources we have in Wayne County, the networking, the partnerships, and in a leadership role with any organization, but especially here, you do get to talk about all the good things that we do here at the Arboretum, but then look for those connections to grow the organization and have an outlook that really is more than just the day-to-day. So, you know, hopefully we're setting great 5-year goals, and even longer term goals. Hopefully we're inspiring our staff, inspiring our visitors to be good stewards, and, really making a great impact on the community we live in.
And I got involved as a recently retired science teacher and had taught several, you know, lots of other subjects, but mostly eighth grade science, and have just always been interested in environmental issues. It was part of the statewide curriculum that I had to teach, and always enjoyed how interested students would be in issues that I brought up that impact their lives and their future. And then once I was retired, knew I wanted to spend as much time as I could outdoors because that's just an interest of mine. And the Arboretum's really good about allowing me to work here and do what I enjoy doing. And of course, I feel like educating children is one of the best things I can do, and I still have a passion for that.
What would you say, I mean, Playscape, or just more broadly, is one of the common misconceptions that people have about the Arboretum as a place to come? Because I think, you know, it's easy to simplify it and say, well, it's just a bunch of trees and you can walk through the trees and that's it, right? But I mean, it's such a, it's a place with so many different experiences, so many different options. I mean, the landscape is sprawling and varied. And so, I mean, for anyone who spent time here, they may start to get a sense of all that you can do here. But when you're out in the community talking about this place and what's possible, what's the thing that you have to keep reminding people of or changing their perceptions of?
Well, the two that I see or hear most often are you know, one, they don't realize that we are free. Lots that we have is free to experience out here. The hiking trails, the mountain bike trails, the nature center, you know, that's all free, crafts and the nature center. We do have some programs that have a small cost to them, Our auto tour does have a $5 fee per car, but just to come out here and go for a hike, which is the number one thing that people enjoy about the property, it's free and open to the public year round. So we used to be closed for the winter months, but we're open and accessible year round. And then on the east side of the property, we're open dawn to dusk 7 days a week. So that's kind of the first thing, that we're, you know, open, accessible, and free. And the other thing is just the amount of amenities we have. I think people don't realize what all we have to offer, and they kind of haven't. Sometimes I hear an attitude of, oh, well, I've been there, I've seen it. And I said, well, you know, when was the last time? And you know, we'll talk, you know, well, it was 20 years ago. Well, a lot has changed, and hopefully we will continue to change as the community and the needs of our community continue to evolve over time. We serve the community, so hopefully we never stop evolving and changing to meet the needs of the people we serve, and I think the Playscape is a fantastic example of that.
As a volunteer, I've learned so much more about it. Just being on the grounds, and I've always come over here, but just being on the grounds more, you see something new all the time. The Wildflower Prairie is a nice new addition on the east side. And just the work that volunteers have done eradicating non-native invasive species here is something that's, you know, environmentally conscious and on everybody's minds right now too, and that are involved with the environment. And leading a class of preschoolers just opens my eyes to so many different things that I just would have walked past, I think, but they're just pointing those things out to them and looking for things they might be interested in, and then just listening to what they find when they're walking through here. And all the seasons, there's so many different things to see here. So there are streams and ponds and prairies, and as well as the trees that I think people already know about, but just the variety of habitats makes for a unique place right in town.
So what's the next big project for the Arboretum or beyond the Playscape? I mean, what would you tackle next, either in this vein of outdoor play and education or other parts of your mission?
I keep sending Steve pictures of a rope climbing spider web kind of a feature. Wow. Just the rope is expensive to get the quality that you need that's going to weather through all seasons out there. And then figuring out where to fasten it up but I think it'd be a great thing for kids to have to climb on.
Yeah, I like the water element. We talked about maybe trying to get the water actually closer to the mud kitchen. In our community outreach board, which is our local board that helps the Arboretum, they suggested some kind of along the same lines of getting the word out there, some marketing. They suggested drone footage. So we're working on trying to find somebody that can help us with drone footage. But I think it's really got to finding great ways to get the word out there. You know, sometimes we're told we're a hidden gem, you know, and there are misconceptions that things, you know, out here cost money and a few things do, but by and large, you know, Playscape's free and we try to be more accessible to people and things. So it's, you know, I love being a gem. I don't want to be hidden. So we need to do a better job there. So that's definitely one of the things that I'm working on. And then just to be open to new ideas and to let people share with us. We did a survey, but it was some years ago about the, you know, what they liked most about the Arboretum. And I think I know it was before the Playscape. So, you know, just by surveying, I think our users and letting them know that if they have comments, suggestions, those kind of things, you know, we serve them. We serve our community.
Always one of the things that you have to balance with all the extra features you'd like to see is keeping them maintained then year in and year out. I mean, that's an issue in my own yard and my own house and my own gardens, and just adding the Playscape features and then that Wildflower Prairie, all those things take some volunteers a lot to to be willing to come out, and you have to know they're going to be there or that it'll just go by the wayside.
So if someone wants to volunteer, or they have ideas, or they have a drone, or they want to give money, what's the best way for them to learn more about the Arboretum and get in touch with you?
The website is a fantastic resource. We went through a rebranding campaign, oh, I guess it was probably 5 years ago now, with a new website, and our website has volunteer information on it. They can always call the Arboretum. Our volunteer coordinator and naturalist, Jenny Lee, is fantastic. We try to do a great job in pairing up the volunteers and their interests with the role that we have out here that needs attention. Definitely check out the website, fill out a volunteer interest form there.
It's hazearb.org?
Correct, yeah, hazearb.org. They can come to the Nature Center, fill out a form there, or call us if they want to give a call out here.
Well, Lisa, Steve, thank you very much for taking the time to talk with me.
You're welcome.
Thanks so much for having us.
Thanks, everyone, for tuning in here on RichmondMatters.com as I talk with people around town who, in their own way, are making the community a better place to be. If you like it, I hope you'll leave a comment, share with your friends or on social media, or leave a comment or a rating in your favorite podcast directory, and that includes the iTunes store. I'm Chris Hardy. Take care.